Okay, as was mentioned, I'm going to be talking about the impact of poverty on acute respiratory tract infections among under five children in Bangladesh. I want to start off by first acknowledging the first author of this presentation, Qazi Muhammad Abdul Kalam Azad, who unfortunately wasn't able to be present, and I'm presenting on behalf of him and me. I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, so what I'm going to do basically is talk a little bit about the background of why we should worry about ARI, talk about the data and methodology, then go on to talk about the results and findings, and then finish up with concluding remarks. Okay, acute respiratory tract infection is a major cause of childhood morbidity and mortality, particularly in developing countries. About 10 million children continue to die each year, of which about a fifth or about 2 million die from ARI. 90% of those deaths are actually from pneumonia. There's a lot of ARI. Children have about, under five, have 4 to 6 episodes of ARI each year. And nearly two-thirds of the deaths due to ARI are thought to be preventable. So it's actually a really unfortunate situation that so many children are dying from preventable causes of death. This is just to give you a schematic of where these kids are. Because of the large population bases in South Asia accounts for a huge proportion of these childhood deaths. All right, so the motivation behind this analysis was that when we looked at the literature, we were surprised to find that despite the huge morbidity and mortality burden from ARI, we know relatively little about the socioeconomic determinants of ARI in developing countries, which is a bit surprising given that it's such a huge cause of morbidity and mortality. So the objective of the study was to use nationally representative data to explore the impact of household poverty on acute respiratory tract infections amongst under five children. We've just heard a very detailed explanation of the demographic and health surveys in Nepal. There are similar surveys done in countries all over the world in a three-year cycle. We are using the data from the Bangladesh Demographic and Health Survey in 2004. This is a very large sample size, which allows us to have robust conclusions. So that's why, and it's nationally representative across all regions, both urban and rural. So it's in a way an unusually distinctive data set because it allows you to draw relatively robust conclusions in terms of sample size. Okay, I mean, the basic model is a logistic regression adjusted for clustering, which is used to fit sequential models which predict the log odds of a child under five having ARI as a function of various predictors, with a particular focus on household poverty. State aversion 8 was used in the analysis. Now, in terms of the case definition of ARI, a child was considered to have experienced ARI in the 2 weeks prior to the survey if he or she had any evidence of cough. So the mother was asked, do you have a child under five who had any episode of cough in the last 2 weeks? And if she said yes, then the mother was subsequently asked whether any one of the three symptoms, such as short, rapid breathing, difficulty in breathing, and chest indrawing, were present. And if that were true, then that child was classified as having had ARI. Now, this definition is definitely something that a lot of people have questioned, whether it's too expansive, too liberal. And in a sense, what we are using is a very liberal definition of acute respiratory tract infections. As an aside, I should say that we have experimented with much more restrictive definitions, which include all the three symptoms in addition to the cough, and the results really don't change that much. That's why I'm presenting the original analysis. I don't think I could improve on the prior presentation's detail about the wealth index. Basically, what we did here, as you remember, that it's a household asset index largely, and it divides the population into quintiles from the poorest to the richest. And what we have done is we've classified the bottom 60% as poor. And that's the bottom three quintiles and the top two quintiles as rich. And this was done after doing a lot of preliminary work, which showed that there was actually no real dose response in between this. So the bottom three quintiles were basically the same, and the top two quintiles were the same, and we tested it statistically. So that's what we ended up with, a dichotomous variable of poor versus non-poor based on more extensive testing. All right, so what did we find? Just when you do the basic bivariate analysis, we find that our poor group, which is, remember, is the bottom three quintiles, have basically 50% increased odds of having ARI compared to the top two quintiles. Then we went on to do a sequential multivariate logistic regression, where we start off with one model and then add additional variables to try to explain away. So we started off with this basic huge increase in the prevalence of ARI for poor households, and we wanted to see whether some of this could be explained away by adding other control variables. And the basic story is that you go down from 1.53 to 1.25, and you subsequently add sort of traditional control variables like mothers and child's nutritional status, and the mother's age, the mother's education, but you're still left with a very large residual of basically 25% excess prevalence of ARI among the poorest 60% of households, the bottom three quintiles. This is basically what I said. So the question is, I mean, we were trying to get at this. First of all, this was an issue of documenting that poor household, children in poor households are at higher risk, and we were able to do that. But remember, this is not a very sensitive dose response. I mean, essentially 60% of the households are at high risk compared to the top 40% who are the reference group. So that itself is something that, you know, we can speculate on that, and part of it is that there's a lot of, it's a highly, for a variety of reasons, one possibility could be that the wealth index that's being used is not a particularly good discriminator, and that's certainly a possibility, and people have questioned how good it actually discriminates between, somewhat poor to very poor. The other possibility is that the exposure environment is so toxic that there really isn't much of a difference, that you cannot really protect your child from ARI just because there's so much of it around. Remember, this is, we are talking about prevalence, which is a bit of a complicated issue because it's not incidence. And prevalence actually takes into account early treatment. I mean, the idea being that if you had early treatment, then your prevalence rates would actually go down. So this is a kind of a mishmash of both higher incidence and lower access to treatment. So to further tease this out, what we would really need are better measures of indoor air pollution. Now, we did have a measure of indoor air pollution, which was the use of solid fuels, which is one of the questions that's available for us in the DHS, but that turned out not to be statistically significant, even though it did give a statistically higher risk that children who were in households where solid fuels were used for cooking had a higher risk of ARI, but it wasn't significant. So we really need to get a better definition of the air pollution measures. Overcrowding, obviously, for intuitive reasons, you would think that if you could get a good measure of overcrowding, transmission risks would be higher, and so on and so forth. This again turns out to be problematic because there isn't the data. We don't have the data under. And what we would really need is household size adjusted for the number of children in the household adjusted for the size of how big the area where they're living, and we don't really have that. I should point out, however, that other studies from MATLAB have been done looking at overcrowding using this kind of measure, and that has not turned out to be particularly sensitive. So clearly we need to think about other things. Then we go to this whole issue of maternal child care knowledge, and there is a lot that has been written about the fact that what really makes the difference is an educated mother who is aware of the fact that she picks up that the child is having early symptoms, appropriately either takes the child, if the child progresses to more severe symptoms, to a healthcare facility, or makes sure that the child does not progress. And we did have a proxy of that, which was maternal education, and if you go back, you will see that was actually a pretty high odds ratio. These are mothers who had an education level which was less than 5 years of schooling had a 23% higher, or children of mothers who had that had a 23% higher chance of having ARI. So that certainly seems to be, if you think of maternal education as a proxy for better child care or knowledge about better child care, that certainly seems to be a factor that is potentially important. All right, so what are the policy recommendations? I mean, obviously, the most superficial recommendation is the fact that children of poor households using this particular poverty index are vulnerable to ARI and need to be appropriately targeted. Again, not a very, you know, it's kind of a blunt instrument because you're talking about 60% of the population. So, you know, but be that as it may, definitely children of poor households are at higher risk. We know that that the child's nutritional status is a huge risk factor for ARI, and I think, and we actually looked at vitamin A coverage, and if you were to go back to the slide, you would see that actually not having vitamin A supplementation puts you at much higher risk. So clearly one thing that can be done, and this is apropos of the previous presentation which talked about increased immunization coverage, in a similar way I think we need to actually put a much bigger push for universal vitamin A coverage. It's an easy thing. I mean, the technology is available. We just need to do it, and we need to put in resources in doing it. This probably is almost certainly is very important that that access to appropriate childcare information, particularly the latter part of this early referral to physicians for ARI. Now, there's been a bit of a controversy about this whole access to antibiotics. Now, on the one hand, unregulated access to antibiotics is attributed to the huge rise in resistance to antibiotics, but people also are now beginning to realize that because antibiotics are available over the counter in developing countries, that may actually have had a big impact on reducing child mortality. So this is a very interesting issue which has to be teased out. I mean, on the one hand, the conventional wisdom has been that allowing people to use antibiotics willy-nilly causes increased resistance, which is certainly true, but also it may have contributed to the fairly rapid fall in child mortality that we have seen in developing countries. This whole issue of maternal education, maternal empowerment is very much tied to early marriage. Unfortunately, Bangladesh continues to have one of the lowest, even though it has rules and regulations and laws which mandate that a woman has to be at least 18 before she gets married. DHS data actually suggests that the median age at marriage is still around 15. So this is a continuing problem and needs to be addressed. All right, I guess that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Rahman, for an excellent presentation. The next speaker is Dr. Larson. Dr. Larson will be speaking on scaling up zinc for the treatment of childhood diarrhea, the Bangladesh experience.